From the book of Psalm, chapter 23. And the word of the Lord reads, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
I have a question for you this morning. Does anyone here have a recommendation for a restaurant in the area? It's a question I receive from time to time from friends who are passing through. What is the best barbecue place in town? Recently, our family took a day trip up to Chattanooga, and as we were getting hungry, my children began to ask around for the best crab legs in town. What about a soul food buffet? Now, we're not much on buffets these days, but when we were, Brother Al, I'm sure Anthony Woodard this morning could give you a good lead on some Ethiopian cuisine, if you are so inclined to that type of thing. To get answers to such questions, beloved, we usually ask a friend, don't we? Or we will go online and begin to search out for reviews that other people have left. We either ask a friend whose opinion we trust, or we go online, or if you're like me, you do both. I rarely buy anything these days without checking for the reviews and the recommendations, whether it's food or doctors or schools or movies or books or even churches. But where we go and what we do is largely influenced by the recommendation of others, is it not? Recommendations are important. High recommendations are critical to business and business goers. A 4 or a 5-star restaurant review says a lot. It says, right, that generally this was a good or even great dining experience. Says that the food was good. Says that the service was good. It says that the atmosphere was good. Therefore, I commend this restaurant to you because this restaurant is good. You don't mind, therefore, giving a good recommendation when you have been treated well. In other words, you don't mind offering that place your praise. Because that's what praise is. That's what praise is. Look it up in the dictionary, and praise is defined as the act of expressing approval, admiration, or commendation. It is saying that this person or this place or this thing is worthy of your attention. It is paying homage. It is what the Bible means when we are called to worship. That's what worship is. It's giving our commendation, our recommendation that the Lord has been good. That's what the Bible says. Psalm 105, verse 1. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Give him a 5-star review. Let the nations know that he has been good. Isaiah 12 and 4. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Over and over again, the Bible tells us that we are to express our admiration and therefore commendation of the Lord to the nations. Why? Because of what he has done. And what has he done? He's been good. He's been good. Psalm 145, verses 3 through 4. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. When we faithfully worship God, it is our recommendation, our five-star recommendation to the world and to those who will come behind us. It is to the next generation. We say that God is good. We say that God is faithful. We say that God can be trusted. We say that God is just. We say that God keeps his promises. We say that Jesus saves. We say that Jesus satisfies. Every Sunday, when we gather to worship together, beloved, we commend Jesus to each other. That's what we're doing. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9 that we are called to address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What are we doing with those psalms, them hymns, and them spiritual songs? We are reminding each other God is good. God can be trusted. God is faithful. God is faithful. One of the reasons that I am saved, and one of the reasons that I am a Christian, is because my mother was. Because she recommended Jesus to me. Because she commended the Lord to me. She spoke of his goodness. She sung of his faithfulness. She lived upon his promises. Now, obviously, beloved, like anything, obviously you need more than your mother or father's recommendation. But still, it is good to have it. It is good to have it. As the old Negro spiritual would say, give me that old-time religion. It was good enough for mama. It's good enough for me. The Lord has done great things in her life, and thus she commended him. Or, as the Bible would put it, she gave the Lord praise. That's what praise is. It's commending the Lord to each other. And it's commending the Lord to the next generation. What we have in Psalm 23, is David commending to us the Lord as the good shepherd. You need a shepherd? David says, here's my recommendation. Here's my commendation. Here's my praise. I recommend to you the Lord as a good shepherd, a shepherd who had filled his cup to overflowing. A shepherd who had continuously filled David's cup. And because the Lord had again and again filled his cup. David, therefore, had his source of praise. Because the Lord had done great things. Because the Lord had continually filled his cup. David was telling the nations. He was telling the next generation. He is telling you and I this morning. The Lord is good. Now, if you have followed us, if you have been following us in this series on Psalm 23, then you know that we have been identifying the blessings that come from having the Lord as our shepherd. These blessings, I hope that you have spied out by now, all begin with P. I'm telling you that in case you hadn't noticed. And so we looked at beginning with profession. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we have our profession, we have our portion, we have our peace, we have our paths, we have our provisions, we have our preservation, we have our protection. And this morning we come to number 8, because the Lord is our shepherd, we have our source of praise. Because, as it says in verse 5, he anoints our heads with oil. But even more than that, my cup overflows. This is my source of praise. This is your source of praise this morning, beloved. Because the Lord fills our cups to overflowing. To overflowing. The Lord gives us more than we deserve. The Lord gives us more than enough. And because the cup of his blessing is overflowing, David therefore reminds us that our praise is not empty. Our worship is not just the figment of our imagination. Our worship is not fantasy, but our praise and worship is based in the fact that we have a good shepherd who has been good. No, bro. He hasn't been good. He's been better than that. He's been even better than that. And when we worship, we have reason to worship. We have reason to proclaim his name. He has filled our cups, and they are overflowing with blessings. They are overflowing with his favor. They are overflowing with his grace and his peace. And his forgiveness. They are overflowing. And all that the Lord has been and continues to be to us. What does this overflowing cup say to us? What does it say to us this morning? What does a cup that is overflowing teach us about the God we worship? Well, a couple of things. It teaches us, first of all, that he who fills our cup to overflowing is ever faithful to fill it. He is ever faithful to fill it. What makes for good faithful service? Well, one thing is that your cup never runs out, right? Sitting at the restaurant, you engage in conversation, and before you can finish your water, someone is there to fill it up again. This is God. This is God, beloved. He is faithful. He is faithful to fill your cup again and again. And I know we take it for granted. We take it for granted. Someone comes to fill our coffee cup in the restaurant, and we probably don't even stop talking to thank them for filling it up again. Because we take it for granted. But I don't want you to miss this morning. The Lord fills your cup. You even notice it. because you're too busy. He feels it, not the preacher, not the pastor, not the singer, not the song leader. It is the Lord who is here this morning filling your cup. In fact, that's why he's here. He's searching for cups that are beginning to run low. He's here this morning to fill it again, to remind you that you can praise him, that you can sing, that you can worship and rejoice. This is his faithfulness. His faithfulness is his presence. You're in that restaurant and your cup is running low, and what are you doing? You're looking around for who's going to fill it. Where is the service? The Lord is here. He is ever present. His faithfulness is his presence. He's with you. That's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Jesus says, "And behold, I am with you always. The Lord is with you to the end of the age. He is not leaving you or forsaking you. He is with you." How is he with you? Well, the Lord tells us that he goes before you. He's with you because he goes before you. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8, the Lord says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." The Lord is with you. He is in front of you. But he is not only in front of you, beloved. He is with you and he's got your back. He is behind you as well. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 12. "You will not leave in a hurry running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you." Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. He is with you. He is in front of you. He is behind you. He's got your back because he is always there, all around you, all around you. Psalm 3, verse 3. "But you, O Lord, are a shield all around me." All around me. "You are my glory, the one who lifts up my head." This is the Lord. He's in front of you. He's behind you. He's all around you. And he never misses your cup. He's faithful to fill your cup. The Lord is present here this morning. Every Lord's Day, it is the Lord who is here coming again and again to fill our cups. This is the reason why you can worship when you come to church. Because the Lord is here. You know what he says? You know what God says to you this morning? In Psalm 78 and verse 38, he says, "If you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time." After time. You got that. That's what he says. He who fills your cup is ever faithful. As if that was enough. But see, more. That he who fills your cup is not only ever faithful, but he who fills your cup is ever excessive in filling it. I mean, he's not just filling your cup. He's excessive in doing it. Not only does he fill it, but it overflows. He is a God of extravagance. He's a God of extremes. He is a God of the inexplicable. He overflows our cup. Now, I get it, beloved. I'm looking out at some of you, and I know what you're thinking. You said, it doesn't feel like my cup is full this morning, Pastor. Much less is it overflowing. Well, maybe, just maybe, that's because you're looking at the wrong cup. See, our focus oftentimes gets off the cup of blessing, and we get onto the cups that the world desires for us to fill. And we're looking at that cup, and it's not full. That cup where the world says, fill it with pleasure. Fill it with greed. Fill it with popularity. And you're looking at that cup, and you say, I don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough friends. The Lord is here this morning, beloved, to remind you that there is a sweeter cup, that there is a better cup, that there is a more blessed cup, and He is filling that cup. And it doesn't run out, but is filled to overflowing. God hasn't promised to fill the cup that the world gives you. God has promised you every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, and He fills that cup to excess. Overflowing, overflowing. This is what He does, and He is excessive with it. He is excessive with His love. You know, love in the world is a funny thing, beloved. We tend to love that which we find attractive. We tend to love that which we find appealing. And what one person finds attractive, another person may find appalling. And as they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? And that must be true because, you know, I never could understand what Whitney Houston saw in Bobby Brown. That continues to boggle my mind. I'm sure there's an explanation, but to me, that is mystery of mystery. That is, until I ask the question, what in the world did the Lord of glory see in me? And I can say without hesitation, beloved, there was nothing. Here is the love of God, inexplicable. Here is the love of God, extravagant. Here is the love of God to extreme. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God loved a world that didn't love Him. Explain that to me. This is the extreme love of God. Christ died for us, sinners, condemned, unworthy, unclean. Question for you this morning. How many people are you willing to die for this morning? A son? A daughter? A mother, a father, a sister, a brother, maybe even a close friend. We might be willing to die for those close to us whose life we believe are worth dying for. But this is what the Bible says that God has done in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. Very rarely, it says, will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, some of us might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the overflowing love of God that fills your cup every day. The Lord of God, the Lord of glory, loves you. And the angels in heaven still wonder, how can it be? The demons and the devil and all his minions are still asking the question, how can that be? Somebody said, how can you sing this morning? Or whatever I'm going through. I sing because I stand amazed at Jesus the Nazarene and how he can love someone like me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous and oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Beloved, the Lord is here this morning, filling your cup with his love again and again and again. He's excessive in filling your cup with his love. But not only is he filling it with his love, he's excessive in filling it with his forgiveness. How does the Lord forgive? Beloved, the Lord forgives to extremes. He forgives excessively. He forgives extravagantly. It's amazing. This even amazed his disciples. They thought they had it figured out. Matthew chapter 18, verse 22. The disciple says, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times, they asked. And Jesus replied, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. This is a cup that is overflowing, beloved. This is a cup not just filled to the rim, but it is overflowing in forgiveness. Most people will forgive you a time or two. Even the ungodly and the worldly will be willing to give you a second chance. And I find it interesting that most people in forgiving justify their forgiving but not forgetting. But you know what, beloved? There is nothing extravagant about forgiving once. There is nothing lavish about forgiving twice. There is nothing special about forgiving but not forgetting. God's forgiveness is extreme. It is inexplicable because he who never forgets promises to forget. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. No more. No more. No more. No more. This is amazing. I just want you to think about this for a moment. This is absolutely amazing. That the Lord says that he doesn't just forgive sins, but he says, I will remember them no more. I remember them no more. There are sins in my life, beloved, that I can't forget. I wonder why did I do that? I sit back and I wonder, how did I do that? I sit there, if only I could go back. If only I could go back and change the decision I made. If only if I could go back and change the words that I spoke. If only I could go back. And God says, you don't have to go back. I've already forgotten that. This is the cup of blessing you have this morning. Those sitting next to you may not have forgotten what you've done, but God has. Those sitting with you may be holding it against you, but God doesn't. He fills your cup with overflowing forgiveness. This is amazing, beloved. This is mind-blowing when you think about it. This is the amazing cup that you have from the Lord. Listen, I want to show you how even more amazing. You think what I just said is amazing? I'm going to show you something that's even more amazing than that. Many of us believe that we can't forgive unless someone asks for forgiveness. Well, that's a natural human response. But thankfully, beloved, that is not how Christ deals with you and me. On the cross, in the midst of his pain and his agony, as sinful human beings, have committed the most heinous sin, the most heinous act in human history, crucifying the perfect Lord of glory. Jesus prayed in Luke 23 and 24, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The forgiveness of God, beloved, doesn't just stretch back to the sins you recognize, but the forgiveness of God reaches forward to those sins you have yet to understand. And he has, in Christ, forgiven those too. He's forgiven those too. I think about that. And after I have sinned, it's amazing to me that before I, in my foolishness, did it, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, pleading, Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. This is the cup you have this morning to overflowing. Beloved, don't you want the Lord to fill your cup this morning? If there's anything that I pray for the Lord to fill my cup with this morning, it is the forgiveness of my sin. Fill it, Lord. Fill it to overflowing. Because I fill my cup with iniquities until there is no more space. But you overflow my cup with forgiveness. You top my sin with grace upon grace. And that's how excessive he is. That's how extreme he is. He's not just extreme in his love and his forgiveness, but he's extreme in his grace, in his goodness, in his favor this morning. You would think that grace is enough. But you know what, beloved? You're going to realize that Luther was right when he said, never too much, never too much, never too much. I'm talking about Van Dross, not Martin. You would think that grace was enough. But the Lord says, no, there's never too much. Never too much. Never too much. You know, I've been to restaurants where they offer never-ending fries. You ever been to a restaurant where they had never-ending fries? Been in a restaurant where they had all-you-can-eat fries? They say that it's all-you-can-eat, but they don't really mean it. Because, beloved, you finish your fries, and then it takes another 10 or 15 minutes before they bring you out some more. And by the time they bring those out, you're not hungry anymore. Oh, beloved, but listen to me. That is not God. God is not waiting for you and I to run out. He doesn't wait for our cups to get empty. He doesn't wait for you to run out of grace before he gives you more. But the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 16, our Lord gives grace upon grace. I like how the NIV puts it. It says that he gives grace in the place of grace already given. Excuse me? Grace in place of grace that has already been given. In other words, it is grace overflowing. This is why we sing Amazing Grace. This is why we sing that grace is greater. This is why, beloved, praise is fitting. This is why we sing. This is why we give praise. This is why it is fitting in Psalm 147 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. It fits. It fits. Praise looks good on the Christian. Fits him or her just right. It's not too big. It's not too small. It goes with everything you have on. The fashion experts tell us that diamonds go with everything. But I don't know because I don't have any diamonds. But I do have praise. And I understand that praise and worship is always good. It goes with everything. Beloved, there is a psalm for every human emotion. There is a song for every day of your life. Sing it. The Lord has been overflowing your cup. Tell somebody that the Lord is good. The Lord has given you grace upon grace. He has overflowed your life with forgiveness. Tell somebody that the Lord is good. Commend the Lord to somebody. Praise the Lord this morning. Whatever it is, wherever it is, give the Lord praise. The Lord is your shepherd. He is here this morning filling our cups to overflowing. Praise him and watch it overflow this morning. He'll do it again and again and again and again. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have your source of praise. Give him praise this morning. Let's pray.